Well, I joined the UN and UN Radio in 1966, and I think I spent approximately 31 years in the UN, and most of it was for UN Radio, or Radio and Visual Services, as it was called, and then they changed the name of the division, etc., etc. But that all took about 31 years.
How many language services did UN Radio have at that time?
When I joined, they had several European and African languages. For instance, they were broadcasting a five-minute news in Swahili, Somali, Serbo-Croat, and several other languages. And we're using United States transmitters, mainly on shortwave. And it was a limited broadcast, also, so to speak. And I remember the announcer used to say, you've just heard the news in, for instance, Serbo-Croat, you can now hear the news in Somali. So, and I was curious about, if the person is listening to the news, you're speaking in English, how can you tell me that I was listening to a program or news in another language I didn't understand, and the next one will be in a language that I don't even understand? Anyway, that's what it was, and they were trying to aim as many target audiences as possible in Africa and Europe, but using the transmitter services of the United States.
What are some of the issues that UN Radio covered then?
Well, mainly they started off with just this five-minute news in all these languages, but also one of the important features was to cover the live broadcast of the Security Council. But then again, it was in English. In other words, they would tune in to take the English interpretation of the speeches of the delegates. And this was broadcast worldwide. The unfortunate thing those days was that they did not take into consideration the fact that you could use that precious airtime to put out features and things about the UN. So what they did was to play music and music all along, almost forever and ever, while, you know, the Security Council, when they say they're going to meet at 4, they don't meet at 4 o'clock because they have to go into consultation and, you know, the usual diplomatic process about resolutions, making changes here and there.
You know, sometimes it can take more than 3 hours for the Security Council to meet.
Exactly. So they just played music. And again, the music they played was orchestral music, Western music, but this thing is aimed to countries which mostly are not Western countries. This was part of the game at that time.
Talking about that, how does UN Radio then compare to UN Radio now?
Well, like any other institution, like any other system, UN Radio, I think, had to adapt itself, not only to the technological changes, and that has been dramatic, but also to the general, I wouldn't say political environment, but the environment as it was, you know, in terms of, I wouldn't say political environment, because it's not just politics, but again, also the needs of the target audiences. So what we did at some time, had the opportunity to do, was to fill that gap when they were playing all this music, devise a means of broadcasting programs, not just with this 5 minutes, 10 minutes news. So we arranged with the Voice of America to get additional airtime, and we put out news programs and then later on feature programs, talk a little more about the UN, because this is what UN Radio is doing now, having little features. And we also had that in television with the UN in action. People want to know about exactly what the UN, not just the news. Because sometimes, of course, they may have heard the news from other sources, BBC and Voice of America and Radio France Internationale, etc., etc. But we wanted to go in depth a little more. So this was one of the changes that we instituted. And one of the things I did, experimented, was with Africa, which was my own area at that time as head of the African unit, was to have what I called UN Africa. It's a 15-minute news magazine, where we dealt with so many different subjects,